السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام, most respected brothers and also our sisters of the madrasa and those listening over receivers. Over the past 2 weeks we have been discussing those ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam which discuss or which mention the azab of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala coming down upon a people because of their indulgence in certain kinds of sins. Now last week we discussed the 15 different kinds of sins that people indulge in, upon which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam warned Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's azab coming, and especially in the form of earthquakes, tremors, gale force winds, raining of stones, metamorphosis. Now these kind of azab coming upon indulgence in those 15 kinds of sins which we discussed to some extent. We can't go into details. Now let's go a little further and see what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has to say with regards to some other sins. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and this hadith sharif is reported by Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala an. حضرت عبداللہ بن عباس رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ فرماتے ہیں کہ جس قوم میں خیانت کا غلبہ ہوگا اللہ تعالیٰ اس قوم کے دلوں میں دشمنوں کا خوف ڈال دیں گے. The people who will betray trust, amanat, when they will betray the amanat and trust, then Allah تبارک و تعالیٰ will put into their hearts the fear of their enemies. Allah Ta'ala will put into the hearts. This clearly shows that everything happens with the will of Allah Ta'ala, with the decision of Allah Ta'ala. Everybody throughout the world today, if we have to look at the Muslim Ummah, there is that fear which has gripped the Ummah. Khawf and fear everywhere. So the fear of the enemies Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will put. On the individual level, he will have the fear of enemies gripping him all the time. It will be like a vice grip, it will catch him tightly. And all the time he's got that fear. Some enemy will strike from this side, some enemy will strike from that side. And if we have to look at our lives, it has become like that. All the time we are in fear. The person who's running his business is in fear. The person who's got a beautiful home is in fear. The person who's got a beautiful car is in fear. The person who's got a big bank balance is in fear. The poor person is in fear. The rich person is in fear. So whenever we are going to indulge in these type of sins, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, whichever azab he mentioned, it is going to have come. So the betrayal of trust, now we only think if somebody gave some amanat, there's 1,000 rand, go and deliver it to somebody, then that's amanat. Whereas in everything there is amanat. I've discussed this at length on the subject of amanat. Trust. We are trustees of something or the other. We are trustees of our children. Have we fulfilled that trust? We are trustees over the properties. We are trustees of our wives. The doctor is a trustee over his patient. The businessman is a trustee over his client. The school teacher is a trustee over the pupils. The examination scripts, when they are being marked, then at that time, those who are doing the marking, they are trustees. In everything there is a form of trust. Now we don't consider all these things as trust. And there's so much of betrayal of different kinds of trust. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that when there will be betrayal of trust, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will put the fear of enemies into the hearts. How much of betrayal of trust there is. And then if you have to look at the business houses, if you have to look at people who are employed to work, undertake a certain duty, certain task, how much of betrayal of trust there is there. With regards to the usage of the telephones, with regards to the usage of the property, with regards to the wastage of time. Those who are teaching in madrasas, in schools, in colleges, how much of betrayal of trust there is. Not pitching up on time, not doing justice to the working hours, using the time of the school, the madrasa, the college, the university for personal work. So much of betrayal of trust. In everything you look at it, there's nothing but betrayal of trust. Go to the parliaments, go to the cabinets, go to all the government structures. What is happening? There's nothing but betrayal of trust. At one time they said you could have trusted anybody. In Madina Sharif, a person could have said you can trust anybody. 124,000 companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam plus minus that were in Arafat, and besides them all those that had not made it to Arafat, anyone and everyone you can trust. Now what kind of Mubarak days those must have been, where you can place your trust in anyone. There was no betrayal of trust. And accidentally if somebody betrayed some trust, so then he made so much of istighfar, tawbah, seeking forgiveness from that person, because sometimes it not knowing that it was a trust, if there was some kind of outward betrayal. So there was a time when you could have trusted anybody and everybody. And then, as predicted, the time will come when it will be told that there is one trustworthy person living in this locality. You can trust him. There will be one person. In the whole locality, you will find one person that will be trustworthy. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, jis qawm mein khiyanat ka ghalba hoga, Allah ta'ala us qawm ke dilon mein dushmano ka khauf dal denge. Aur jis qawm mein zina ki kasrat hogi, us qawm mein amwat ki kasrat hogi. That nation, those people, those communities in which zina will be in abundance, then you must await death also in abundance. Plentiful of deaths. No more one person dying here, two people dying there, and half a dozen dying there. No more like that. 50, 100, 1,000, hundreds of thousands. One bomb blast taking away so many. And when the bombs are raining, then hundreds of thousands are gone. One battle. Zina in abundance. It is a scourge of our time. Many times I've spoken on this subject in Juma Bayans, Nikah occasions. Many, many times I've given different angles to it. That zina is the scourge of our society. People in top positions, people who are learned, people who are scholars, people who have ilm of deen, knowledge of the Quran, knowledge of the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, for them also, and for the general ummat also, and for those who are disbelievers also, look all around. The greatest fitna is the woman. And now not only woman, we can see that now how much of homosexual relationship. So it was not for just to put us to sleep that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned so many things in the ahadith. For the Quran Sharif did not discuss these issues just to give us some kind of satisfaction that we are making tilawat of the Quran Sharif. There was great reason for it. وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشًا وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا ND 272168. Don't even go close to zina. I mean, anything that will bring you close to zina, stay far away from it. And who doesn't know what are those things that bring a person close to zina? And then there's zina of the eyes, zina of the hands, zina of the feet, zina of the heart and mind. And then the actual zina. If we say that no, we don't commit zina, then can we say also we don't commit zina of the eyes? And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam referred to it as zina of the eyes, zina al-ayn al-nazr, casting lustful glance. It is zina of the eyes. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that when there's going to be abundance of zina in any society, then you must expect Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's azab in the form of plentiful of deaths. People will die. Train smash, train crashes, planes crashing, ships sinking, wars, battles, bombs, different ways. Look at Iraq, what is happening. One of the maslas of the Shia mazhab is mut'a. One of the maslas in their kitab is mut'a. And all Shias believe in that. Maybe one small percentage that don't make amal on that. And what is that mut'a? Without going into the details, we may term it as glorified zina. When nikah takes place, for a fixed time, the time is fixed, that I hereby marry you for 2 hours, for 24 hours, for 3 days. Now what is that? If that is not zina, then what it is? But that is a mazhab of the Shias. Now in a country where that is the mazhab, then what else do you expect? So zina is the scourge of our society. And I have mentioned many times openly that a person will have his brilliant son, he will have his brilliant nephew, he will have his brilliant cousin or friend or any other person is brilliant. But when he's employing a secretary, then he will look for a semi-naked woman, the most attractive. When he's looking for sales girls, then that is what he will look for. So then where are you going to get barakat in that business? And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has mentioned many places that zina brings poverty. So we will say that the people are not getting poor. Many of them are multi-rich, although they're committing so much of zina. One is the zina, and one is the poverty of wealth, and one is the poverty of the heart. Those multi-rich, but they are indulging in zina, they are poor at heart already. There's greed to an extent that there's no satisfaction even if they are making millions or billions. And then not only that, but after a period of time, their children, their grandchildren, somewhere along the line, those big empires collapse. If we haven't noticed it in our lifetime, because of our age factors, then you'll notice it. We have seen many companies. No one ever thought that the sun will set, but they have vanished. There's no sign of it. Those big empires, the Mughal empires, when zina became rife, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala took away those empires and gave it away. After rule of 700 years, 800 years and 1000 years, A tujhko bataun main taqdeer e umam kya hai, shamshir o sana awwal, taus o rubab aakhir. Says, come, I show you that taqdeer e umam kya hai. What is the taqdeer of the ummah? How do the people rise? And what is the cause of their decline? When they are rising, then at that time, shamshir o sana awwal, got a sword in the hand, making jihad. Of course, it doesn't mean just killing willy-nilly anybody. Jihad according to the Quran and Sunnah. But in other words, they're making an effort, they're striving, the jihad is striving for the cause of deen, to bring deen into the lives of people, into the lives of the ummah, inviting others, the disbelievers into deen. And then in the process, now if there is a war, there's a battle, there's a fight against them, then they are waging jihad. With a sword also, so shamshir. But then when there's a decline coming, then ta'us or rubab. Then you will find music. Music will be the cause. Singing girls, dancing girls, music, musical instruments in every function, every home, every car, every way. What do you find today? If there's no music, they say, then you can't travel. It must be soothing to the ears. Now we have got a lots of substitutes, alternatives. Allah Ta'ala out of His fazal gave us. There are so many things we can listen to now. Qiraat you can listen to. So many CDs are available of bayans, lectures, Naat Sharif, Nazams, Quran Sharif recitals, Qurras or Qaris of the world reciting. So nobody can say that now, what must we do? Others are listening to music, they got the radio on and they're listening from here to Cape Town. What must we do? We got so much of alternatives, substitutes. So zina, when it will come in abundance, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that Allah Ta'ala will cause large numbers of people to die. Large numbers. In another hadith sharif, Allah Ta'ala will bring about poverty upon those people that are indulging in zina. Sooner or later, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will take away whatever they have. If it's not in their lifetime, the children, they will destroy it. But big, big empires have collapsed because of the zina. It is something that is most detested. There is nothing for which Allah Ta'ala has prescribed such a kind of punishment that if it is adultery between two adults, then that we call it adultery. And they are Muslim. Of course, to prove zina is very, very difficult, extremely difficult. Four eyewitnesses with so many conditions. You will hardly find one case where zina was proved by witnesses. Most of the incidents, or those few that you find in history, that was confession. Those people had such khawf, such fear of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that they came and presented themselves and they said, for stoning to death, knowing it that they'll be stoned to death. So that was the degree of taqwa they had. But nevertheless, so Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he warned that when there will be zina in abundance, then this is what is going to happen. Aur jo jamaat naap tol mein kami karegi, uski rozi mein kami hogi. When you are going to cheat in weight and measure, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will also decrease that person's risk and sustenance and livelihood. Sometimes the decrease comes in the form of numbers, that, and sometimes it comes in the form of barakat. That the barakat decreases. The person has plentiful but no barakat. And they say also, Maulana, we are earning plentiful but we don't see barakat. We just don't know where my money goes. There's just no barakat. No matter how much they earn, there's no barakat. I mentioned that some of those people who have come into government positions, they were at one time where they were in the jungles or they were fighting with the underground forces and they were earning 1-2,000 rands and they were eating simple food. So many of them. Then they came to high positions. Now they earn 50,000, 60,000, 100,000 a month. And they keep saying that it is not enough. We need a salary increase. We cannot seem to pay our bonds. So what is the reason? There's no barakat. Barakat is a reality. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives barakat. It comes with His decision. But if Allah Ta'ala takes the barakat away, the person will keep on earning, but he won't see any real and true benefit. He won't get contentment. So when the person is going to cheat in weight and measure, now this is another common thing, and unfortunately so many Muslim business houses are involved in this. Sometimes we think it's just a few inches, but calculate those inches or those few centimeters over hundreds of thousands that we sell. So whether it is a few centimeters or a few inches, in weight and measure the person must not cheat. Of course, weight and measure here again has a lot of meaning, but I'm not going into those discussions. But weight and measure, if the person is going to cheat, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He is the one who gives sustenance. He is the one who sends the customers. He is the one who gives livelihood. Just as He gives, He can also take away. Different places the person's money will just go. The lawyers will take away so much. And the liars will take away so much. Sometimes the lawyers will take it away. in court cases. And sometimes the lawyers, that they will give us beautiful credentials. They will talk very highly of their honesty and truthfulness. And then we will supply them goods, they're gone. There's no sign of them after that. So sometimes they will take it away. But it will go away, some way or the other. It does not mean that every loss is an azab of Allah Ta'ala. You must not misunderstand. Nauzu billah, the Sahaba-i-Kiram radiyallahu anhum ajma'in, it was not an azab of Allah Ta'ala that their homes were taken away in Makkah Sharif, their belongings were taken away. That was not an azab. For some people it's a test, for the pious, for the righteous, for the God-fearing. These type of losses are a test of their sabr, to see if their hearts are more attached to those things of this world or to Allah Ta'ala. As the Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Alayhi, whilst he was sitting and he was carrying on with his majlis, somebody came and informed him because he was doing import-export. But he was not involved, he had his agents and that is how they used to carry on. He was doing his work of deen. They came and informed him that the ship which was bringing your goods, the ship sank. They didn't have insurance. So when he was told the ship sank, so he said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And then he put his head down and then he said, Alhamdulillah. Then he carried on with his teaching. After some time somebody came and said that it was not that ship. Your goods are salamat. That ship didn't sink. So he said, Alhamdulillah. He said, Hazrat, both times Alhamdulillah. He said, when I was informed that the ship sank, so I said, well, that was the hukam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So I said, Inna lillah. And whatever was the decision of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, I was pleased with that decision. And when I was informed that it was not that, my ship load is still coming, then again I made shukr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So they were always between shukr and sabr. So for them it was, even if there was a loss, it was a test. Here what I'm talking about is upon our sins when there are losses. And who can claim from amongst us that we are like those people of the past, that we are so pious, so righteous. So we must consider it as a test, or we must consider it as a forgiveness of our sins, or an azab of Allah Ta'ala, so that we return to Him. So this is the punishment, He said, they will get. Aur jo jamaat haq ke khilaf faisle karegi, usme qatl ki kasrat hogi. The first, the jamaat which will decide against the Quran and Sunnah in all their affairs, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that there will be an abundance of qatl, murders and killings. Plenty of that will take place. So these were the punishments that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said will come upon these sins. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu farmate hain ki Huzur Aqdas sallallahu alayhi wasallam ne farmaya, ay muhajirin ki jamaat, panch cheeze aisi hai ki jab tum unme mubtala ho jaoge, aur khuda na kare ki tum unme mubtala ho jao. Particularly addressing the muhajirin, but it was for us to come after him and after them. They were not like us. He said there are five things when you are going to get involved and when you are going to indulge in these five type of sins. And I make dua that Allah Ta'ala protects you and you don't get involved, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told them. But if that comes in the ummah, then this is what is going to happen. Jis qaum mein fahisha yani zina khulam khula hone lagega, usme taun aur aisi nayi nayi bimariya hongi jo pehle kabhi na suni hongi. That people, or those groups or those jamaats or whoever in the, or in whichever society there's going to be zina in abundance, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will cause such kind of diseases and sicknesses and illnesses to come in that society, which their forefathers never heard of. Now, I've mentioned this before too, and I repeat, that this AIDS, there are many people who have been caught up innocently. Some women have been caught up innocently. They've been infected by their husbands. Children have been infected. Doctors sometimes accidental injury and they are infected. So we are not talking about those people, but those who are indulging in zina. It has become such a problem, they just cannot seem to find a solution to the problem. How many billions have already been spent on this AIDS? Research, how many billions? Believe me, the day they find some kind of a solution to the problem, there will be another sickness that will be worse than that. And it's happening. Every day they say it's a new disease, new sickness. One in a billion is affected by this sickness. Or it is such a kind of sickness that it just epidemic proportion. Thousands of people, hundreds of thousands. Look at the different kinds of flus in different countries of the world. We never heard of it. The forefathers never heard of it. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that this is what is going to happen when zina will be in abundance. Again the same thing, when people are going to commit zina openly. In which country of the world you don't get films now, where you can watch zina being committed openly? In fact, they pride themselves on that. That our country produces so many films, and they are box office hits. They make millions of dollars on it. In what? When there is open zina. On the streets, on the beach, in the hotels, on the stages of the world. Where is zina not being committed openly? And we who say that we are believers, we don't commit zina, then we got the television, we got the porn sites of the internet, we got the filthy magazines, then those are the things that we buy. And we give satisfaction to our eyes watching that zina. You think Allah Ta'ala is not watching us at that time? When our gaze is on that haram, then you think Allah Ta'ala's gaze is not on us? It is just His tahammul, His tolerance. Otherwise the earth at that time says that, destroy these people. They don't deserve walking on my surface. I am hurt. So it is Allah Ta'ala's tahammul, His fazal, that He does not destroy us there and then. But how much of zina is taking place? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, when there's going to be abundance of zina, open, people are going to indulge in this sin openly, then sicknesses and diseases which people never heard of in the past, they will get caught up in those kind of diseases. The whole society. We're not talking about individuals here and there getting sick. Talking about the whole society, the whole nation will suffer from such kind of problems. I mentioned, I think, in one bayan that they had one conference here in Durban. It was an AIDS conference. And they had thousands of delegates that came from around the world to find a solution to the problem of AIDS. So one person who is involved with some supply of furniture or office equipment and computers and things like that, now he received orders from escort agencies. And those escort agencies, they said that we are extremely busy. We are extremely busy servicing our clients who have come from other parts of the world for this conference on AIDS. La hawla wa la quwwata. Now what problem, what solution are they going to find who are indulging in zina here in that whilst at the conference? So it is only Islam that has a solution to this problem. The Western world cannot understand. All the magazines and everything just talk about protective sex. That's all. Is that a solution to the problem? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was rahmatul lil alameen. He wants to lead us, he wants us to lead a life of health, peace, prosperity. Why does Islam emphasize so much on nikah? Why does every kitab of jurisprudence deal with nikah? Why does the Quran Sharif deal with nikah? So much has been written on nikah. For what reason? It is natural instinct that Allah Ta'ala has created. There will be passion in man. But then for the fulfillment of that passion also Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala created a means. Make nikah. And if you can't make nikah, then keep fast. But there is no permission to commit zina. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that when zina will be in abundance, Allah ta'ala, or when people will commit zina openly, then Allah ta'ala will cause such kind of diseases to surface in that society which the forefathers never even heard of. جو جماعت ناپتول میں کمی کرے گی وہ قحط اور مشقت اور بادشاہ کے ظلم میں مبتلا ہوگی. In the other hadith, different thing was mentioned. Now in this hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam say that when they are going to cheat in weight and measure, they are not going to give full measure and full weight. Or in the change, when they are going to short change, in the change, when they short change, and that is another very common thing. The poor person does not know very much, is a simpleton, and he comes and buys. So the person starts off the counting after he's already got on the cash register a few amounts written there, already added on there, and from there they carry on. You go to the petrol pump, how much of it happens, in many, many other places. So when this is going to happen, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will cause that community to suffer drought, famine, hardship, injustice from the rulers. All these things will happen. And which country people are not complaining of injustice from the rulers and all these other problems? اور جو لوگ زکات کو روک لیں گے اللہ تعالیٰ بارش بھی روک لیں گے اگر جانور نہ ہو تو ذرا بھی ان پر بارش نہ برسائی جائے. And those communities, the majority, when they are going to hold back the zakat, either the person does not give properly or he doesn't calculate properly or he just gives it to anyone whether he's deserving or not, or they don't give at all. So then Allah Ta'ala's Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says when they're not going to give zakat, Allah Ta'ala will hold back rain. There'll be famine, there'll be droughts. And if it had not been for those animals, then you would not have even had a drop of rain. So we must be grateful to the animals. Be grateful to Allah Ta'ala that He created those animals, and because of them we get rain. Otherwise, I said, so many people don't give zakat. Fortunately, in South Africa, because of the education and because of the revival that has taken place, lots of people are now concerned about the zakat. But still go to some other countries, they haven't even heard of zakat, some of them. They think that zakat means that you give some charities to some poor people and finish that zakat. So that will be the punishment for them. اور جو لوگ اللہ اور اس کے رسول کے عہد کو توڑیں گے وہ دشمنوں میں گر جائیں گے. And if they're going to break those pledges and promises that they've made to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we have made a pledge of obedience to Allah ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now when we are going to break those pledges that we have made, then again the enemies will surround, the enemies will take over, the enemies will dominate. Now the Muslim countries today, you can say there are so many Muslim countries, but have they got any power? Have they got any real strength? Can they call the shots in anything? Nothing. They have to go on pleading and begging the Security Council, don't pass any resolution against us. We are at your mercy. So either America pulls the string or China pulls the string or Britain or France. There is no real strength and power. The enemies have dominated. اور جو لوگ ناحق کے احکام جاری کریں گے وہ خانہ جنگی میں مبتلا ہو جائیں گے. And whether it is in our home affairs, whether it is our business, whether it is in our domestic life, private life, public life, whatever life, political life, if we are going to pass laws or if we are going to practice upon those things which are against the teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah, then there will be internal fighting. People will fight amongst themselves. Which home today people are not fighting? Which family people are not fighting? Which society people are not fighting? And which nation is not fighting? Can any home say that everything is very peaceful now, alhamdulillah? We are all a united family. Do we have any united family nowadays? So these are the different kinds of azabs that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will send upon these kind of sins. ایک حدیث میں نبی اکرم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے فرمایا کہ جو قوم بد عہدی کرتی ہے اس میں آپس میں خون ریزی ہوتی ہے، اور جس قوم میں فحش یعنی زنا کی کثرت ہوتی ہے اس میں اموات کی کثرت ہوتی ہے. دس تھنگ وی ہیو آلریڈی ڈسکسڈ. سو وی کین انڈرسٹینڈ فرام دیز احادیث آف نبی علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام دیٹ دا کنڈیشن دیٹ بی فال اے پیپل اٹ از بیکاز آف دیئر ایکشنز، اٹ از اور ایکشنز. Therefore, that ayat of the Quran Sharif where Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, Zuhar al-fasadu fil barri wal-bahr bima kasabat aydin nas. But again, it is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's ihsan, it is His fazal that through these different kinds of azab, different kinds of shake-up, different kinds of sicknesses and diseases and problems that we see in the society and in the nations, then He brings those people on to track, those who use their aqal and intelligence, those who take lessons from it, then they make tawbah, they make istighfar, they return to Allah Ta'ala. There are so many people, they say, when this incident took place in my life, it brought me back to Allah Ta'ala. It brought me to the masjid. The waves of tests and trials brings a person very quickly to Allah Ta'ala. But because we are weak servants of Allah Ta'ala, we must not ask for azab. We must always ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness of our sins. He is merciful and He dearly loves forgiveness. But there has to be some stop somewhere. How long are we going to carry on? How long? And I've repeatedly said this and mentioned this, that in the past people used to wait. They used to say that you expect an age of 60, 70, 80. People are living 80s and 90s. And in these days, there is no question of waiting. There is no question of waiting even for youth. Little children are gone. Young boys and girls are gone. And if there's bomb blasts and shake up and earthquakes, then thousands and hundreds of thousands are gone. So we must never be complacent. Make use of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's ni'mats, conduct your businesses, live a happy life, be cheerful. Nobody says that must take tasbih and sit down in the masjid all day. Within the parameters of Sharia, there is so much of enjoyment. Make amar bil ma'ruf, nahi anil munkar, invite towards haq, prohibit from evil. In our homes especially, where we have got some power, some authority. We got power over ourselves if we don't have power over somebody else. In our own homes, over ourselves, we've got power, we've got authority. Nobody stops us from getting rid from our homes of all those things which we have brought in, which is bringing about such destruction of morals and behavior that it's unbelievable. It's shocking beyond belief. Wallah, I'm telling you, it's shocking beyond belief. One person says that, Walana, the day that I took my TV out was the day when just past midnight I heard some sound in the other room where my sons and daughters, they sleep. Four children, yes, or five. But he's got three or four rooms, but he heard some sounds in that one room. So he says, I got up and I went there. The first thing that I saw was the TV was on, because they had their own TV. Nowadays we say that, no, we are very pious and righteous and we've got a lot of sharm and haya. So give the children their own TV in their room, we have our own. Because of sharm and haya, modesty. We have reached a height of modesty now. So give them their own so they can watch the film there, we can watch here. So he says, I went into the room and this is what I saw. Complete naked pictures were being shown. Adultery, fornication, zina, everything filthy. That film that they were watching was the filthiest of films, so you can imagine. But the shocking part was that my sons and daughters were naked in that room. Na'uzu billahi min zalik. I don't like to mention these things. Why am I mentioning this? Because it's hurting. Do we want this kind of thing in our lives? Own sons and daughters, incest was taking place. They were watching and they were indulging. He says, I got the shock of my life. He says, I unplugged it and I smashed it against the wall. When I did that, the neighbors came away. What happened here now? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Wallah, I don't tell you stories here. I don't tell you fairy tales here. Sometimes I give you this little bit of shockers to say that enough is enough. How long are we going to say sports, sports and sports? One mother says yesterday that my children go and watch sports somewhere else. So isn't it better that I have it in my house so that they can watch the sports in my house? Do they only watch sports? And that incident of that Stanger young boy that I mentioned many times, because the father gave me the permission and he said, yes, it's good if it stops somebody. So that four-year-old, after watching plenty of filth on the television screen, he tells his mother, I'll chop your neck off, I'll hang you by the window, I'll do this to you and I'll do that to you and I'll murder you and kill you. And how long are we going to say sports, and how long are we going to say that, no, my home, we only watch that which is decent on TV. Can you control those midnight programs your children watching? Talk about parental control. The parents themselves need control. Where are they going to control the children? Those who are indulging in it, put your hands on your hearts and ask yourselves this question. That would you want your home to be of that kind? This shocker at least made him throw the TV out of his house. And this is just the tip of the iceberg, if I have to. We are dealing with cases every day, so we got our fingers on the pulse of the society. I'm not talking about people who are away from the masajid and people who are distanced from deen. I'm talking about people who got contact and taluk with deen and taluk with the masajid and taluk with the works of deen. So who are we fooling? We are fooling no one but ourselves. Allah Ta'ala is very merciful, very forgiving, very tolerant. He gives a rope, come back, come back. Going on radio stations and giving big, big speeches is not sufficient. When there are programs, you'll find all kinds of speeches. People are making their input, situation around the globe, this is what we must do, that is what we must do. Immediately after that, in their own homes, what they are watching, what they are reading, what they are entertaining. Don't test Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's tolerance. Get rid of it. You'll be grateful. You'll be happy. You will then say that we made the best decision of our life, as so many have written to me and have said that, Maulana, your repeated talks on these things have really made us get rid of this. It has brought such kind of peace and happiness. Now we talk to our family. We are, while eating also, this discussion, and we got peace. There's no more quarrels also. So many fights have gone from the home. These were the causes of those fights. I said 45 minutes. Alhamdulillah, exactly 45 minutes now. So let's make dua. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. اللهم افتح لنا بالخير واختم لنا بالخير واجعل عواقب امورنا بالخير بيدك الخير انك على كل شيء قدير. اے میرے پیارے اللہ, اے میرے رحیم اللہ, میرے کریم اللہ, my most forgiving Allah, most compassionate Allah, most loving Allah, most caring Allah, most tolerant Allah, oh my most beautiful Allah, there is no one besides you. There is none besides you who we worship, my Allah. You are our creator, you are our cherisher, you are our sustainer, my beloved Allah. Where do we go? Besides you, there is no one for us. If you have to turn away your glance of rahmat, of forgiveness, of mercy, because of our sins, and if you have to send down the different kinds of azab and punishment and wrath that we have read about and we have discussed, then my beloved Allah, we will face nothing but destruction. Don't test us, my Allah. Don't punish us, my beloved Allah. My beloved Allah, don't send down your punishment in any form. Ya Allah, protect us, safeguard us. Ya Allah, just as you have the power, the qudrat, the might to send down azab and punishment, my beloved Allah, you also have the qudrat to change our hearts. You have the qudrat to forgive each and every one of us. My beloved Allah, we are asking you to change the condition of our hearts. Give us hidayat, give us guidance. Put us onto sirat-e-mustaqim. Give us enjoyment in ibadat, in zikr, in tilawat. Put the love of good deeds into our hearts. Put the hatred of sins into our hearts. Give us courage of lions against our nafs and shaitan. Give us the himmat to throw out of our lives and our homes whatever is displeasing to you. Ya Allah, we listen, we listen. Day and night we listen. We read of so many incidents. Ya Allah, we have gone through so many different kinds of tests and trials. But still we don't get up from our slumber, from our negligence, from our indifference. Hum ghaflat ki neen se phir bhi bedar nahi hote. Mere Allah, hume maaf farma. Forgive our major sins, minor sins, sins that we committed knowingly, unknowingly, in the light of day or darkness of nights. Forgive us, our parents, our wives and children, our brothers and sisters, and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My beloved Allah, bless us with the best of dunya and akhirat. Those who are sick and ailing, give them shifa from all ailments, sicknesses and diseases. Cure us of all our spiritual ailments and physical ailments. Those who are in financial difficulties, bless them with plenty full of halal risk and remove their difficulties. Those who are weak, give them strength. Whosoever is suffering from any kind of difficulty, hardship, problem, remove their difficulty. Remove the problems of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Forgive the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah, when the time of our death comes, let it be in a state that you are pleased with us. Let our death be in Madina Tayyibah. Let our burial be in Jannatul Baqi. Ya Allah, bless us with the best of dunya, the best of akhirat. Don't deprive us of the goodness of this world and the goodness of akhirat. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all his life he made duas for us. Bless us with all the goodness that he asked for us. Bless the ummah with that goodness. And from all the mischief, corruption and fitnas that he asked for protection, protect us and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Except all the works of deen that are taking place. Tabligh o da'wat ki mehnat qubool farma. Unke gash ta'aleem ko qubool farma. Ijtimaat ko qubool farma. Masajid madaris ki hifazat farma. Khanqao ki hifazat farma. Tamam deeni anjumano ki hifazat farma. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiyul alim. وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. Ya Allah, you are well aware of the desires that are in the hearts of those who have raised their hands. Whatever good desires there are, my beloved Allah, fulfill their good wishes and desires. And you are well aware of the hardship, difficulties and problems that the individuals are facing who have raised their hands before you this part of the night. Ya Allah, remove their hardships, difficulties and problems. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifoon. Wa salamun ala al mursaleen. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.